Next, he would need to bury the house's master. He thought he could dig the grave beside Annalise's tomb, as long as the girl approved. At least for now, he can sleep here. I'll worry about his final resting place later. Daniel threw the grimy cloth into the sink. He knew he should eat something, but he'd run out of energy. He compromised by drinking deeply from the tap, then stumbled back to the fireplace and dropped two new logs onto the growing flames. Then he crept to his bed and curled up under the layers of blankets as the fire began to spread warmth through the room. Even after the physically exhausting night, sleep eluded Daniel for more than an hour. Every time he started to drift under, nightmarish images shocked him awake. He kept accidentally touching the damaged flesh on his right arm, and it was impossible to forget the body sprawled on the hearthside rug behind him. Finally, weariness dragged him under. His dreams were strange. At one point, he imagined he saw Bran standing by the fire, hands clasped behind himself as the firelight danced over his gray features. Daniel stared at his profile for a moment, then mumbled, "I thought you were dead."
"I am, and I have been for quite a while."
Bran's mouth twitched into a smile.
"But I've found that death and I don't agree too much. Go back to sleep, Mr. Kane."
"You need to start calling me Daniel. Figure we've been through enough to be on a first-name basis, haven't we?"
"I suppose so, Daniel."
When Daniel next woke, the fire was dead. There was no hint of light around the window or under his door, which meant he'd slept through the whole day. He sat up and rubbed his hand over his eyes as he waited for his head to clear. His left arm ached. He shambled out of bed and searched for the candle on the desk. He managed to light it one-handed and lifted the growing flame to see his damaged arm. Someone had tied the silver talisman around his hand, strapping the vial and silver beads against his skin. He was surprised to see the swelling had gone down. It was still discolored, and mottled red and purple bruises ran through the slate-gray undertones, but he could curl his fingers into a proper fist. He lowered the arm and turned to face the room. The space in front of the fireplace was empty. Daniel let a smile grow.
"Well, how about that?"
Chapter 32. 3 days after the fire. Daniel approached Craven Manor. The storm had doused the flames, but the sour scent of burnt wood and fabric still lingered in the air. Three of the trees growing closest to the building were scorched black. A sense of gratitude crashed through him. Without Bran's storm, the flames could have easily spread through the long-dead vegetation filling the gardens and burnt Daniel alive in his cottage. The flock of crows complained behind him. They'd abandoned the blackened tree beside the front door, but still lingered close to the house. Daniel made a mental note to bring them some fresh meat later. They deserved a treat for their efforts in the fight against Eliza. He climbed the wide stone steps, where a layer of soot had replaced the usual coating of dried leaves. The smell of smoke became stronger as Daniel stopped in the space where the wooden doors had once stood. The thick, dark wood slabs were almost completely gone. Clumps of charcoal lay across the top step, and he could see the melted remnants of the hinges. Daniel swallowed and looked through the hole the doors had left. Craven Manor's insides made for a depressing sight. It had never been especially welcoming or cozy, but he'd grown to appreciate the massive hall and its antique fittings. The chandelier lay in a tangled wreck in the center of the foyer. The marble floor was invisible under thick ash. The high windows had exploded in the heat, and parts of the roof had collapsed. The rotted furniture surrounding the fireplace was gone, as were all of the trinkets on its mantelpiece. One element upset Daniel more than any other. The dramatic wooden staircase had been consumed, and only an ugly stub remained. Without it, the room felt unbalanced and wrong. He couldn't see Annalise's painting on the landing, but the damage to the lower level didn't bode well for it. He exhaled and folded his arms across his chest.
Sometimes a drastic loss can herald a new start, a fresh start.
Daniel turned. Bran stood on the patch of ground outside the manor. He gave Daniel a short nod and climbed the stairs to stand at his side. Together they stared through the charred remains of the door. Daniel's throat was tight, and it took him a moment to speak.
Are you all right?
As well as a dead man can be, I suppose.
He looked better than Daniel had expected him to. His skin was still paper thin and gray, but the awful mapping of black veins was less pronounced.
I feel drained, scraped thin, but I hope time will return some of my strength, as much as is left.
Bran's glance was sharp.
I'm surprised you returned.
Daniel shrugged. I didn't really have anywhere else to go. I spent a night in the hospital waiting room, and a second night with Mrs. Kirshner. She's my old neighbor, but I needed to come back eventually.
Were my coins not enough to afford you new quarters?
Daniel tactfully avoided the fact that Mrs. Kirshner was spending them on cat toys. Instead, he told the truth. They would have, but nowhere else feels like home.
I am grateful.
A smile was audible in Bran's voice.
It was lonely without you, and rebuilding the manor will be easier with someone who can lift objects heavier than a pen. How is your arm?
Sore. Daniel flexed the fingers. The flesh was still blotchy shades of gray and black, but the swelling had subsided. He'd wrapped it in bandages, partially to protect against infection and partially to avoid horrifying people he passed in the streets, and kept the talisman tied against the skin. It seemed to help. The doctors had no idea what it was or how to treat it. I left before they could suggest any crazy experiments. Do you know if it will get better?
Truthfully, I have no idea.
Bran held out his own hands. The fingertips that had once been mottled black were a dark gray.
Now that Eliza is dead, my own affliction seems to be receding. The plague must have been tied to her will. Without her anger to fuel it, it is dying. But I am not mortal. I do not know how the infection will impact a living organism. I suppose we must take each day as it comes.
Daniel tilted his head back to examine Craven Manor's ceiling. You said something about rebuilding.
Yes. It is perhaps foolish and more than a little vain, but I do not like seeing my family's home brought to such a level of disgrace. If I can borrow your talents, we might see what some time and effort can repair.
Bran nodded over Daniel's shoulder towards the forest.
We can begin by retrieving the bag of coins your cousin attempted to abscond with.
4 weeks after.
No, I'm just saying it doesn't make sense.
Daniel's attention picked up at the words. He was in the dining room, working through a budget for Craven Manor's repairs. The words floated through the dining room door, and he put down the pen and crept closer to the opening. Two men were working on the fireplace, removing the scorch marks and repairing the mantelpiece. They spoke in subdued voices, but the words still carried easily through the manor's empty foyer.
I mean, the house catches fire within a week of him moving in. That's insurance fraud 101, right?
His companion snorted.
Or maybe he just doesn't know how fireplaces work.
This Kane guy is barely more than a kid. It's no different than my cousin on his learner's license buying an expensive car and crashing it.
Exactly. He's young, 20, maybe 22. How'd he get this house? Where are his parents? It's just this kid living in a burnt-up mansion in the middle of nowhere. I'm telling you, something's fishy.
Keep your voice down, idiot.
Fishy or not, we're getting paid up front, and in cash.
As long as I don't have to chase down overdue invoices, I'll gladly turn a blind eye to a bit of weirdness.
Still, though,
I heard him telling Terry he inherited it. Apparently some great-great-great-aunt or something took a shining to him as a kid and wrote him into her will.
I wish I had a rich aunt.
Don't we all? Brief laughter broke the tension, but the reprieve didn't last long. The first man spoke again, his voice so quiet that Daniel had to tilt his head close to the door to make out the words.
There's something else. This house is weird. All of these instructions to not come until after dawn, not to explore the garden, not to stay after dark.
He likes his privacy. Rich people usually do.
And I keep hearing footsteps and doors opening, even when Kane is out of the house. I'm thinking maybe we're not alone here.
You're getting paranoid, man.
Don't you feel like you're being watched? I mean, hell, just look at this place. It's like it walked out of Halloween Town. If any house was going to be haunted, wouldn't it be one like this?
Are the ghosts going to get in the way of me doing my job? Because unless they do, I honestly don't care.
I think the cat laughed at me.
There was a very long pause. Daniel folded his arms across his chest and bit down on a smirk. Finally, the first builder spoke again, sounding defensive.
I'm serious. That cat has been following me everywhere. This morning, I hit my thumb with the hammer, and its mouth opened right up. I swear it was laughing.
All right, you've officially gone round the bend.
Shut up!
If the house bothers you that much, put some more energy into your bloody work. The sooner we finish, the sooner we can get out.
Fine.
Daniel, keeping his feet light, crept back to the table and settled into the chair. Although the foyer's damage was extreme, the stone walls had hindered the fire's progress deeper into the house, and most of the rooms were still structurally intact. He'd had to scrub soot off the dining table, but then there'd been so much dust on it that it had needed a deep clean anyway. The scruffy black cat sat pin straight on the tabletop, overseeing Daniel's work. They made eye contact, and Daniel couldn't repress his grin any longer. He kept his voice to a whisper. Brand's ears were good enough to pick it up.
If I'd been there, I would have laughed too.
The cat's jaws opened, and he exhaled a soft, hissing imitation of a chuckle. 6 weeks after. Daniel shivered, despite four layers of clothing. He leaned his back against one of the lichen-crusted trees. Tendrils of mist coiled around him, but they were thin that night and didn't obscure the crypt ahead of him. The flowers and bushes he'd planted had taken root. Most were dormant in the latter half of autumn, but come spring, Annalise would be surrounded by a carpet of color. Bran emerged through the trees to his right. Daniel was gradually getting used to the man's silent appearances and departures. For the first few weeks, it had been incredibly unsettling to look up and see the tall figure in the doorway when no footsteps had heralded his arrival. Now it was just another quirk he'd adapted to. Daniel raised a hand in greeting, but couldn't manage a smile. The police stopped looking for Kyle today. Bran came to a halt beside Daniel and leaned against a tree.
I'm sorry.
Daniel shrugged. He was glad Bran hadn't been happy at the news. He knew it was better for them and for Craven Manor if the police inquiry died, but at the same time it seemed horribly final. Kyle hadn't even had a funeral. There hadn't been anything left of him to bury. All that remained were Kyle's bag, stuffed full of coins from Bran's study, and black soot staining the statues and mixed in with the dry mud. No one except Daniel and Bran knew that Kyle had traveled to Craven Manor that night. He'd left the hospital without checking himself out. The police's main theory was that he'd sustained more damage to his brain than the doctors had first assumed, and wandered away in a delirium. They thought he might have perished in an abandoned building. There were plenty of those in his city. Or strayed into the woods and died of hypothermia. Kyle didn't have any family beyond Daniel, so no one was hounding the police to prolong the search. He would live on their database as a missing person, albeit one who wasn't actually missed. Except by Daniel. He kept replaying the events surrounding Kyle's death again and again. He alternately blamed himself for enabling his cousin and for not showing enough compassion. Kyle might not have been a shining example of human goodness, but Daniel believed he wasn't inherently bad either.
Daniel?
He startled at Brand's rasping voice, then managed a grimacing smile.
Sorry, stuck in my head.
Motion caught his eye. Annalise had emerged from her tomb. She stood 20 paces away, swaying, with her hands clasped behind her back. She grinned, and her excitement eased some of Daniel's tension. He smiled back at her as he pulled a small metal tube out of his pocket.
Ready?
She nodded. He turned the laser pointer on. The red light cut through the mist and appeared on a tree several feet to the tomb's left. He'd come up with the idea after trying to play hide-and-seek with Annalise. He could never keep up with her, and her transparent form gave her a distinct advantage. The laser pointer solved both problems. Daniel could rest, and it gave Annalise a challenge. Annalise vanished into the mist. Daniel tried to track her movements, but she was good at hiding herself. He took a guess and turned off the laser pointer. Annalise's hand appeared on the tree a second afterwards. Brand laughed.
Almost.
Daniel turned the light on again, this time pointing at a different tree. He tried to guess how long it would take her to reach it, but was a moment too slow as her hand appeared under the red dot. She twirled in triumph, then danced back into the mist.
Nice job, Daniel called, then turned out the light again.
Annalise vanished as she waited for him to pick a new target. Daniel tilted his head towards Bran as he flicked the beam on again.
I spoke to Joel this morning. He can bring us a generator to power some stuff in the manor if you want. Lights, a radio, or any other kind of entertainment you want.
Bran rolled his shoulders. The movement reminded Daniel of the way the crows would ruffle their feathers.
I'm sure that isn't necessary.
Don't you get bored, though? During the day, I mean, while I'm working?
I have been alone for nigh on 200 years. You would be amazed at my tolerance for it.
Daniel chuckled, and his moment of distraction cost him a point as Annalise caught the light. He switched it to a new location on the crypt's wall.
Fair enough, but you don't have to be alone. Not anymore.
Bran
glanced behind them to the behemoth of a building rising over the treetops, and his expression softened.
Perhaps some lights in the house would be nice.
Daniel had let his attention wander from the game. Annalise appeared at his side to startle him. She brushed her fingers across the laser pointer, turning the metal ice cold, then frisked away, her face bright with mischievous laughter. 5 months after. Daniel flexed his shoulders as he jogged up Craven Manor's wide front steps. Winter was on its last legs, and premature bright green leaves were beginning to sprout from their trees. He wore a thick jacket, but he doubted he would need the wool gloves that were tucked into his pocket much longer. The mansion's front door stood ajar. He rarely closed it. The habit was part sentimentality by that point. He was so used to the door waiting open for him that shutting it felt wrong. The gap let leaves and dust blow through the opening and made sweeping a job that never ended. But it also provided extra illumination for the foyer, which still felt gloomy, even after the modern lighting had been installed. Daniel shed his coat and hung it on one of the metal hooks beside the door. The high ceiling was empty. He and Bran hadn't replaced the chandelier after the fire, and Daniel found he preferred it that way. Repairing the building had taken months. The flames hadn't spread far from the foyer, but whatever they'd touched had been a lost cause. He and Bran had salvaged as much as they could, though, and mimicked the house's original design with the new installations. They'd managed to repair Annalise's scorched portrait, and it continued to look over the entrance from its place above the stately wooden staircase. The foyer was cozier now. A thick rug cushioned the floor around the fireplace. Steady frames crackled in the grate, radiating warmth across the space and lighting the stone walls. Bran never ate or slept, but heat and cold were two sensations he could still feel. Daniel lit the fire when he woke every morning, and he made several trips back to the building through the day and evening to restock its wood. Under his watch, the fire was never allowed to fully die unless the grate needed cleaning. "Good evening." Daniel rounded the plush red chairs and slid into one. The fire felt amazing after the biting cold outside. "I finally cleared up that fallen tree to the east of the crypt. We've got a whole 6 functioning paths weaving through the maze now, and enough dry wood to last us until next year." "Look." Bran, reclining in the chair next to Daniel, nodded to a small, furry shape at his side. He seemed to be trying not to move. "She's asleep." It had taken 5 months, but Daniel had finally convinced Bran to let him adopt a cat from the shelter. He'd picked out a young gray girl, and it was snoozing beside Bran, its fluffy head resting on its leg. Daniel grinned. "I told you she'd like you." Bran's long fingers scratched behind the cat's ears. Its whiskers puffed out, but it didn't stir.
"The poor creature is too foolish to know she ought to be afraid of me. Much like you."
Bran's expression was deadpan, but laughter sparkled in his eyes. Daniel snorted. With Eliza dead, the plague was slowly receding from both of them. Daniel's arm had regained sensation and most of its dexterity, though the lingering discoloration meant he either wore long-sleeved shirts and gloves or wrapped it in bandages when he visited town. Bran's features were becoming less nightmarish as well. Daniel thought that in a few months, the other man might be able to visit town as a human without getting more than a couple of wary glances. "We've got the Historical Society meeting here tomorrow." Daniel stretched his feet towards the flames. "Do you want to join us this time? I'm sure you'd be welcome."
"Perhaps another day."
Bran continued to scratch behind the cat's ears.
"Baby steps,"
Daniel reminded himself. He couldn't rehabilitate a recluse overnight. Simply agreeing to let Mrs. Kirshner and her friends spend the evening in his parlor once a week was a large concession. Daniel and Bran generally only used a few rooms in the mansion, the foyer, the parlor, the library, and the dining room. They had closed up nearly all of the second and third floor bedrooms, including the tar-painted tower door. It was easier than trying to keep them maintained, though Daniel hoped Bran might eventually open up a few of the rooms to guests. He suspected Mrs. Kirshner and Bran would get along well, once they both got over their wariness, and it would be good to know his neighbor was looked after and comfortable in her retirement. Daniel had asked Bran to reduce his pay to something reasonable, but an envelope with 2 gold coins still appeared outside his door each week. It was far more than he needed. Some of the money had gone into a car, some was invested, and he spent the rest on antique books about spirits and the supernatural, which were gradually filling out the decimated library's shelves. He still didn't know if it was possible to release Annalise's spirit from the manor, but if there was a way, he wanted to find it and at least give Annalise the choice. Daniel couldn't hide a smile as he watched Bran lavish affection on the sleeping cat. Wind whistled through gaps in the stonework, but it seemed distant and comforting as he bent forward to add more wood to the fire. Bran had said something shortly after Eliza's attack.
"We will take each day as it comes."
That was the motto Daniel was living by. He didn't know if his arm would ever fully heal, and it was still possible that Kyle's death could be connected to him. Life might eventually carry him away from Craven Manor and its unusual owner. But none of those eventualities felt threatening, not when compared to what he'd gained. His home was comfortable, his work was rewarding, and for the first time in years, he had a genuine friend. The job was unorthodox, but he felt as though he'd found his purpose as Craven Manor's custodian. And so, he would take each day as it came. This has been Craven Manor, written by Darcy Coates, narrated by Will Damron. Copyright 2017 by Darcy Coates. Production copyright 2018 by Darcy Coates.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.